May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Future Priest Odiah Hawks, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention? Shabbat Shalom. My name is Future Priest Jonathan. I'd like to serve you as a future priest, as a priest starting very soon. It is my privilege and honor to present to you the future priests and priestesses now entering the sanctuary. It is my privilege and honor to present to you the future priest, Yeshaya.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'll be talking to you about a peaceful solution lesson entitled Noah's Okay. Although we ask politely and to the right authority, we may get the answer no, and we have to accept that answer. We must be willing to accept the answer no when asking our parents or other authority figures to do something or borrow someone's possessions. When someone in authority tells us no, we may feel disappointed. It is okay to feel disappointed or sad, but it is not okay to act in anger or pout because we cannot get what we want. We can accept no politely if we always keep in mind that when someone owns something, they have the right to decide who touches or borrows their belongings. Some polite ways to accept the answer no is you could think, well, maybe another time, or they know it's best for me, and you could politely say, okay. Here's an example of a child that did not accept no as the answer. You're in the store with your parents and you see your most honored candy. And you ask your parents for the candy. They say no. And you start to throw a fit. And some consequences could be you could get privileges taken away. And another consequence could be the next time your parents go to the store, they would not allow you to come. Would any of us like to receive these consequences? No. And that is the importance of stopping and thinking and letting your emotions cool down. Now let's look at this same example of the child practicing self-control and accepting the answer no. You're in the store with your parents, and you see your most honored candy. You ask your parents for the candy, and they say no. And now is the time you can stop and think, my parents know what's best for me. You politely accept their answer. You politely accept their answer. And some rewards would be your parents would possibly allow you to get the candy the next time. And an even greater reward would be that you are learning to build a positive character and learning to deal with disappointments in a proper way. We all struggle with making the right choices sometimes, right? Now let's look at how this applies to us in the scriptures. Let's turn over to Genesis 32, verse 24. On page 27, chapter 32, verse 24. And it says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Well, let's find out who this man was. Let's turn over to Hosea 12. Verse 3 through 4 on page 690, Hosea 12, verse 3 through 4, And it says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his manhood, now get this, he struggled with Yahweh. And verse 4, yes, he struggled with the Malak of Yahweh. Now the Malak of Yahweh was his teacher, a prophet, a priest. And prevailed, he wept and implored him. He found him in Beth Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. There he spoke to us. Now, struggling against the authority, this is exactly what Jacob was doing. But he overcame. He was converted to Yahweh's way. He listened to his teacher and accepted the answer. I would like to close with a quote from the second book of Yisrael, chapter 32, on page 295. Page 295 of the second book of Yisrael. And it says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against authority. The authority is Yahweh, who is the head, and will always be the head. If we don't stop wrestling against this authority, if we don't learn to accept authority, then we won't be there with Yahweh, who is forever. And now I'm going to turn it over to Future Priest for prayer.
The great deacon, Israel David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. What I'd like to cover this morning is a subject the pastor's been harping on quite a bit lately, and that's this harvest. He mentioned the harvest a few weeks ago, if you remember, and he said, this year is the year of Yahweh's harvest. So what I'd like to go over is, what is this harvest, and how we can make sure that we're ready for this harvest so we can be acceptable tools for Yahweh. Now, for my first scripture, I'd like you to turn over to Matithiah, chapter 13, on page 740. And this is the parable of the wheat and the tares. We should all be familiar with this parable. You know, Yahshua was talking about how, there was the sower planted worthy seed in his field, and then an enemy, being Satan, came and planted tares in the field, which are, weeds. Now look on to verse 30. He says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Of course, the wheat being those chosen ones that Yahweh can use. Now, so remember that harvest and look on over to verse 38 on the next page, where Yahshua is explaining this parable. He says, the field is the world. The worthy seed are the children of the kingdom. Now note that children of the kingdom there, because I'm going to go over how we can become children of the kingdom. That's what we want to be. But the tares are the children of the wicked one, which of course that's definitely what we don't want to be. So how can we make sure that we are children of the kingdom? Now I'm going to give you a little analogy here. Picture that you're walking through a nice green field, or maybe it's a wheat field or grass, and everything looks like nice green grass to you until you're walking and you realize that, wait, I got stickers and they're stabbing me and poking me, and what's going on here? Well, it's not just a nice green field. You know by their fruits that they're unworthy, that they shouldn't be there. You want to start pulling them up and getting rid of them. So you're known by your fruits, whether you're all prickly and Yahweh can't use you. So we have to be looking at ourselves on an individual basis to make sure that we are worthy of Yahweh's use. And the only way he can work with us as this children of the kingdom that it says here in verse 38 is if we bring forth fruits worthy of his use. So I'm going to show you how to do that. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and that's on page 929. In verse 1 through 7, I'm going to read. It says, therefore, for the rest, brothers, we plead with you and exhort you in Yahshua Messiah, that just as you have learned from us how you must walk in order to please Yahweh, notice you're learning from the teachers, from the priests, how you must walk in order to please Yahweh, as indeed you must live, in order that you may abound more and more. Notice you're going to abound more and more. Your fruits are going to show forth, and you're going to be teaching others and spreading it to other people. For you know what commandments we gave you through Yahshua Messiah. For this is the will of Yahweh, your sanctification, that you be set apart in holiness. You must abstain from all fornication. Each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. Now remember that word vessel. We talked about vessels of gold, vessels of silver. And, you know, we should be striving to be the best vessel that we can for Yahweh. Each of us should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of depraved passions. That word depraved means morally corrupt, wicked and perverted. These depraved passions that the Gentiles have, you know, the way that they conduct themselves. We shouldn't be looking up to these things as something that we want to do. Because, you know, this is this worldly way. And when we want to go out into the world and defile ourselves with these actions, then, of course, we're being that servant of Satan. And we cannot be used by Yahweh. In this manner, then, no one should defraud his brother or take advantage of him. For Yahweh is the avenger of all these sins. Well, he judges these things. And they'll be brought forth on the day of judgment or the day of sentencing. And we have forewarned you, bringing complete testimony. For Yahweh did not call us unto uncleanness, but into holiness. So we need this here tells us how we need to be acting. We need to refrain from anything that the world gives us and stick to, you know, what we've been taught. We can't be a tare. You know, don't be a tare, brethren. Examine yourself and eliminate all these negative things from your lives. Eliminate these unworthy fruits for yourself from yourself so Yahweh can use us. But he wants to use us to teach others. We kind of throw that term around, you know, I want to be in Yahweh's kingdom. I want to be in Yahweh's kingdom. But remember what that kingdom is. It's a kingdom of priests. And a priest is a teacher. He teaches others. So that's what we need to strive to be if we're serious about being part of this last day's work. Praise Yahweh. We need to be learning to be teachers. And there's so many resources that are offered to us now on Sabbath, during the week. There's classes, there's books. We have no excuse not to learn to be a teacher, brother. So, you know, it's not just knowing that Yahweh's way is great and awesome and that Yahweh's laws work. It's actually applying it in your life, learning to love those laws to where you'll want to teach them to others. And, of course, getting the sin out of our lives. That's the whole reason for this group. So if you give up and leave now, like Pastor was saying last week, you're not hurting Yahweh. You're only hurting yourself. Okay? You're removing this position that you could have from yourself. And you'll definitely regret it later. Now, I'd really recommend, this is the second book of Israel, going on to perfection. I really recommend that you read chapter 26. It talks about staying in the work and not leaving the work and, you know, making it your highest priority. It talks about remaining faithful to Yahweh. Now, one more aspect of this that I want to touch on before I close, this wheat and tares parable that we went over that Yahshua talked about, it's not just pertaining to, you know, everyone, it's also pertaining to ourselves on an individual basis. Okay, we need to be watching what we're allowing into our minds, what we're sowing into our minds. Okay, remember what the Peaceful Solution talks about influences. They're all around us, and the world offers these things readily. But we have to guard our minds so that we don't allow these things to control our thoughts. So in this Going On to Perfection book, I would like to read one verse out of it. On page 147, this is sermon number 17. The date is 1/16/1993. It says, "Let me say right now to the young people, I know that this is a hard thing for you right now, especially with the entertainment that is created at this time. Satan has a strong pull on you, but if you make up your mind to be a part of this kingdom, you can push it aside. You can get to bed on time, you can get your lessons done, and you can have plenty of time for everything and still be a part of Yahweh's kingdom. But if you let Satan take up your time, you won't have time for your studies. You won't gain the knowledge that Yahweh wants you to have, and you won't be able to overcome Satan." Notice if you don't put your mind into study, into removing the world out, totally get them out of your mind and focus on the study that the house of Yahweh brings forth, you won't be able to overcome Satan. And of course, that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that we have no inkling of Satan's way in our minds. As a minister of Yahweh, we can only teach. We cannot force anyone to be doing these things. We cannot force a person to study and build their minds, but we can certainly tell you that you should. If you sleep while I'm preaching, it's going to be like a tree that falls in the forest, and nobody knows it because no one was there to hear it. So not a sound was made, was it? Or at least you don't hear that sound if you're not paying attention. But, and you know, Satan will put all kind of things into our mind to justify the reason why we want to watch this or we want to do that or listen to this. But really, there's no excuses for following Satan's way. She brings forth this mixture of righteousness and evil that looks desirable, but if there's any bit of evil in it, it's evil. Okay? Yahweh can't use it. Remember that. So we have to take the time to test the spirits. We can't sow these things into our mind because they grow and they become harder and harder to eliminate, and you'll regret it later on. So we have to take the time to test the spirits, okay, and make sure that they're of Yahweh. We have the peaceful solution. We have the laws of Yahweh the pastor has brought out. We can use that to test the spirits. We also have the Kahans we can go to, our counselors. Ask them, hey, is this lawful? Am I doing what's right? And they will lead you on the right direction, like Deuteronomy 17 tells us to do. Or you can just stick to what's already been brought out by the house of Yahweh. Stick to the material that's been brought out, and you can't go wrong there. Praise Yahweh. We need to remove all of this evil from our lives, any of these negative influences. Remember, Matthew 6, verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and all his righteousness. And everything else, all these things, we might want to go out into the world and get extra money, extra toys, trucks, whatever it might be that's distracting us. Remember, it said all these blessings that we won't even be able to imagine will be added to us if we seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay? Remember, Pastor said that when we've proven ourselves fit to be teachers, those teachers are going to be the highest paid job in the kingdom. Okay? People are going to look up to you as a teacher, and they're going to want to admire you. Okay, so use that as that carrot on the string, so to speak, you know, to dangle in front of you and say, hey, I'm going to keep walking this way. I can see the goal in sight. Use that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Use that to lust after that position. Not to take someone else's position, but to, you know, acquire that position that you can have. And that will motivate you. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, we can be worthy for Yahweh's harvest, okay? And if you put all these things into use, Yahweh will be able to use you as a tool in his kingdom, okay? Mm-hmm. Praise Yahweh. So if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Here we are again, week number 3. Well, you know, you'll find out today why this had to be spoken 3 times. Because, you know, in the mouth of 2 or 3, every word must be established, every matter. It was mentioned this morning by the announcer in the announcements that here's a new calendar, the House of Yahweh calendar. You can acquire yours. I believe they're on the table. 2015. Pastor said, this is the year of harvest. Did y'all hear it when he said that? Let me show you the definition of 2015 in Strong's. Means to turn about or over, to change, overturn, return. And it means to turn, overturn, change, transform, turn back. Other examples of change, it shows you some examples, is changing Pharaoh's mind. Literally, the heart of Pharaoh. This is interesting. And then it gives Isaiah 60 verse 5, which says, the abundance of the sea shall be converted to you. Simply means the riches of the seas will be given back to you. That's you. That's us right here in the great house of Yahweh. This is the year of harvest. Now, turn over to, if you would, to Matthew 24, verse 32. Matthew 24, verse 32. It's found on page 753 in your book of Yahweh, where it reads, it's talking about this generation that will not pass away. Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When the branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. Listen to that word summer. Key on that word summer. In the same way, when you see all these things that he spoke about in the first 30 verses there, the famine, the disease epidemics, all the things we've been seeing, except the nuclear wars, which are getting ready to start. When you see all these things, hold on, I lost my place here. Let me put my glasses on. Okay, verse 33, in the same way, when you see all these things, know that it's coming and the end of the age is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. Let's look at that word summer. Look at the word summer there. I'm going to give you the definition out of Strong's. Summer means harvest. It's word number 6972. So from now on, when you see that word summer, it's harvest, okay? And it says, whether the product, grain or fruit, or the dry season. That's what summer means, the dry season. The season for harvest. And Yahweh shows us winter means windy and wet. Summer means the dry season. Turn over to, because summer has less rain, turn over to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And we're going to look at verse 4. It's found on page 445. Psalm 32, verse 4. It says, for day and night your hand was heavy on us. Our strength was dried up like the drought of summer. Selah. That means pause, consider. So our strength was dried up like the drought of summer. Because in summer there's less rain. And then in it's not conducive to the harvesting. Turn over to Proverbs 26, verse 1. Proverbs 26, verse 1, found on page 513. It says, snow in summer and rain during harvest is as fitting as honor is for a fool. Okay? Snow in summer and rain during harvest is as fitting as honor for a fool. Okay, now, less rain in summer. Okay, look at Proverbs. Even the ants know this. If you turn over to Proverbs 6, even the little ants know this. Proverbs 6:6 on page 499 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And then it talks about she has no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her supply of food in the summer, and gathers her food during the harvest in the summertime. Okay? So summer means harvest. We've established that. Turn over to Daniel. Now let's talk about this overturning. Daniel chapter 2. Because I read this last week, but I didn't read you the scripture or the verse that I intended to. But we're going to look at verse 234. And this is talking about harvest. We're going to start at verse 32 about this image of Nebuchadnezzar, this Babylon. This image, head was of fine gold, his breast and arms were silver, his stomach and thighs were bronze. His legs were iron and his feet were part iron and clay, and part clay. And this is talking about this image, these four world-ruling kingdoms. Rome being the legs of iron and the feet of iron and part clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. That stone is the great house of Yahweh, okay? We're the ones that are going to turn this Leviathan around, but Yahweh's going to be the one to do it, okay? It's Yahweh doing this. We're just his instruments. It says, then the iron, verse 35, then the iron, clay, the bronze, the silver, and gold were broken to pieces at the same time. Okay, this image, Babylon, will all fall at the same time. And became like, notice, the chaff on the summer threshing floors. Like the chaff on the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that no trace of them could be found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Are you looking forward to this? Okay, now, Let's turn over. Well, last week, after I gave my sermon, a great deacon that reads the clouds, a pastor refers to often, approached me about 5 in the afternoon, and he showed me the picture of the wave. Y'all familiar with the wave? And he said, you know, there's another picture in there. And he turned it sideways, and he showed me what it was. Can I have the picture, please? Can I have the first? There it is. There's the picture. That's the original picture. Can you give me the next picture? Okay. All right. No, just look at that picture for a second. That's the wave picture, right? Now, when you turn it sideways, you can do this because there's only this wave picture. You can find it online. You can do this yourself. Turn it sideways. I'm going to show you what you're going to see. What he showed me and the way he explained it to me was there's a picture. Here it is here without the overlay. What it is there's a hand here, and that hand is kind of saying, spit it out. Let me have it. The other hand is on his shoulder. This person behind him has got his shoulder like he's trying to turn him back, like turn him around. Okay? And these first 3 fingers is pastor's face. These first 3 fingers, pastor's face is in that wave. Okay? Now, turn over to Yeremia chapter 50. Because I told the great deacon, I said, well, I read that scripture today. And he said, you did? Because I guess he was busy writing some other things. And I told him, well, I just read that scripture today. And I read it to him. And he said, that's it. Yeremia chapter, let's see, is it 51? No, wait. 50 verse 44, found on page, wait a minute. Okay, I'm in the wrong place. Is it Yeremia 50:44? Okay, hold on. The one where it showed, oh, here it is. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Yeremia 51, verse 44. Page 618. I'm sorry. Oh, it says, oh, how Shishak, code word for Babylon, is captured. Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become desolate among nations. The sea has surged over Babylon. She's covered with the multitude of its waves. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land where no one lives, through which no son of man passes. Now notice verse 44. I will punish the Lord, Baal, in Babylon, and I will bring out of his mouth, okay, what he has swallowed. Now, that's a lot of sermons in itself right there. But the people have been swallowed up by Babylon and a lot of other things. And I will bring out of his mouth what he has swallowed. Then the nations will not flow to him anymore. Yes, the wall of Babylon will come down. So everybody can see that picture right now. In this picture, his eyes aren't wide open. We did that just to kind of help you to key in on where the eyes are. But if you look, he's very sickly. His eyes are closed and he looks very sick. Okay? Well, Babylon is sick. Okay? But we're going to turn this around. This is the year of harvest. So then right after that, it couldn't have been 20 minutes later, pastor calls. And pastor said, you know, you sent me an article a few days ago about a Russian, America threatening to put missiles in Russia. And let me show you. Here's the article. It says, U.S. threatens Russia with deploying nuclear missiles in Europe. This article is dated, if you notice, 12-12-2014. Well, that's very significant. But pastor said that they had conducted a test. Russia denied the allegation and said the testing of a ground-launched cruise missile in July 2014 was in compliance with the INF treaty, or a treaty they had signed. And pastor said, I want you to study that July right there. Well, it turns out, first of all, the article again was 12-12. Well, we should all know by now where some of us, we've talked about it, I think, in the past, but it's very significant that 12-12 is Our Lady of Guadalupe Day, or the Queen of Heaven Day, or Satan Day. Okay, now, let me key in on something here. It says right here, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe is celebrated on December 12th, and it says, during this, it talks about a visit that the Pope made to this certain sanctuary, John Paul II, and he entrusted the cause of life to her loving protection and placed under her motherly care the innocent lives of children, especially those who are in danger of not being born. Yeah, right. Right? That's like the fox guarding the hen house. Satan in charge of the children? Look what they've done to the children in this satanic system out here. Okay, now, I don't want to lose my place here, but so this missile test was conducted on July 27th, 2014. So my starting point was 7/27. 7/27, Strong's, the Hebrew word aron, and it means, lo and behold, in the sense of gathering. There's that word gathering again, right? But it also means this. It also means an ark, chest, into which things are to be collected. Keep that in mind. An ark, chest, into which things are collected to be kept or protected. Okay? Keep that in mind. But remember gathering. And it's from the Hebrew word Strong 717, which means to pluck, to gather, to pluck grapes. Pluck grapes. Very significant. Means to pluck off grapes from a vine. To pluck off, to gather. Now remember, please write these down. Please. If you're going to ever understand the word, Yahweh's given us these things through these numbers. This is not a coincidence. Now, what I found when I researched this is Russia did a number of tests that year on missiles. And what I found was every date showed the plan of Yahweh what's taking place. Notice this. Russia successfully tests nuclear missile, more planned, says Navy Chief. This one was conducted on September 10th, 2014. And what they did was they tested a missile called the Balava Intercontinental Nuclear Missile. And they said they have more launches planned for October and November. And it says the 12-meter-long Balava, or MACE. Now, I don't have time today to get into that, but I'm going to tell you right now, this all points. The world has its MACE, but we have one too. And you're going to learn who he is. Now, it says, has undergone numerous tests and some successful. Now, listen to this, the impact that this bomb can deliver. An impact up to 100 times greater than the atomic blast of Hiroshima. Can you imagine that? So I looked up 9/10. 9/10, and it means an isolated city, solitary, alone. You know, Russia's under these sanctions, right? They've been cut off. And it's from Strong's 909, and it means the notion of cutting or tearing apart. Keep those words in mind as well as the isolation, the sanctions. Russia's being isolated right now, okay? But remember these words, cutting and tearing apart. So then, the next test, this one was on, here's the headline, Russia successfully test fires new ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile. And this one was on October 29th, 2014. And it shows how the Russian Navy successfully test-fired a new intercontinental ballistic missile. So then I looked up 1029. Now remember that arc in the place of protection. 1029 meant it's Strong's 1029, and it means House of the Acacia Tree. Does everybody remember about the ark and what it was made out of? A great sermon was given on this at one time. Go back and listen to it, okay? That's speaking of the house of Yahweh, the place of protection. Now, the next missile test they conducted, they were pretty busy. November 28th, 2014. It says, the defense ministry said the Alexander Nevsky nuclear submarine test-fired a Balava missile from the Barents Sea, and these are hitting targets 5,000 miles away. Okay, 5,000 miles away. This was on October 29th, so I looked up 1029. That was November 28th, I'm sorry. So I looked up 1128, November 28th. So I looked up 1128 in Strong's, and it meant these two words, Ben and Dakar. And here's the definitions. Ben, and a derivative of Dakar, means son of piercing or a lance. Remember those words, piercing, and the word lance. Okay, remember these, very, very significant in Yahweh's plan here. And it also, the word dakur, that second word, it means to pierce through, or to pierce, pierced. Let me turn and remind you, if I can find my, here it is, buried over here. Wow. Nuclear war, is it really coming? And I want to remind you of some of these words that are used about this great sword that's going to be used, this nuclear bomb. I'm going to read you some of them now, and then you're going to see in the next article, you'll see some more of them. But on page 25... Actually, let me start on page, I believe it's page back. Let me see. No. Okay, this is page 25, and it says, the word sword means drought, a cutting instrument. Remember that word cutting you saw a few minutes ago? And it means destructive as a knife, like a lance. A lance is a knife. A sharp instrument is what a lance, the definition, if you want to go look it up. And it means, or other sharp implement. And it says this word means to desolate, destroy, kill, make waste, dry up, slay, to perish through war. That's what the word sword means. And on page 27, it shows you this word pierce that you just saw, or lance, to pierce holes. The word iron means to pierce holes. And that means that when a nuclear blast hits the land, piercing holes in the earth, the detonation will pulverize the soil, turning it into volatile particles. Okay? So then the next... Now keep those words in mind, because the next test they did was on December 26th. Russia test fires their Yars intercontinental ballistic missile, says Defense Ministry. December 26th. So I looked up 1226. Now remember those words that you just saw about drought, okay? 1226 in Strong's. And I want you to notice, it means dearth. Dearth means lack, scarcity, shortage, and want. From the dictionary. Notice what else it means. People reduced. That means depopulation. Okay? It also means Let's see. Let me turn this over. Further definitions, drought. You just read that. Dearth and drought. Now, could this be a coincidence? Oh, I don't think so. Okay, so remember the harvest? Remember the harvest. One of the missiles that they were test firing is called the Topol missile, but it's known by NATO as the Sickle B. Sickle B. Write that down, the Topol missile. This is a Russian missile. Y'all remember the Russian flag? With the sickle and the hammer. Write that down, sickle and hammer. Because the earth has a sickle and a hammer, but Yahweh does too. Okay? But Yahweh's is a peaceful one. I want to read you something because the Russian Federation now has a new flag and it does not have that sickle on it anymore, but they still use it. I want to prove it to you. This is from Wikipedia, Hammer and Sickle. And it says, today, even after the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the hammer and sickle remains commonplace in Russia and the former Union, Soviet Union republics, but its display is prohibited in some of the other socialist republics. But Russia is still using that, the hammer and the sickle. Now watch this. This is the Belova missile that they've been testing. And it means mace. Not the kind the cops spray on you, but a mace, a hammer. Okay, you're going to see what a mace looks like. Let me show you these maces. It sounds a lot like Mason, doesn't it? Okay, now look what they like to use. These are some maces right here. These are weapons of war. Look at this thing. Would you like to get hit in the head with one of these? These are the things they use. These are maces. Look at them. These are instruments of destruction. This is what you want if you leave the house of Yahweh, because this is what's coming, and a lot worse. These are what maces are. The word mace, if you go, it means a club. It's also called, remember that Satan has a clever disguise for everything, the morning star weapon. Remember Yahshua, the bright and morning star? I guarantee he's not using this, okay? It says maces, listen to this, maces are rarely used today for actual combat, but a large number of government bodies, the British House of Commons, the U.S. Congress, universities, and other institutions have ceremonial maces and continue to display these symbols as symbols of authority. Okay? Such as this one right here in the U.S. House of Representatives, hanging here. And there's your fasces, the Roman symbol of authority, hanging there. Next to this other symbol of authority. Now, can I play? Hold on. Okay. First, let's play. Yeah, let's go ahead and play the clip on the missile. I want you to show you these missiles, what they got here. And then we'll show. Go ahead and play both of them. Go ahead and play the second video, please. This is about the mace. Those bombs you just saw, those missiles are all Russian. Those are the ones they've been testing. Can we get the second video, please? Pay attention.
California is out of order.
You must suspend, gentlewoman.
Madam Chairlady, did you ever see California?
Madam Speaker, I demand the Sergeant at Arms bring the gentlewoman to her feet.
You must suspend. Do you ever see men do this to other men?
Madam Speaker, I demand the gentlewoman comply with the rules of this house.
The gentlewoman must suspend. When a woman attempts to speak.
The gentlewoman from California, you must suspend.
It is only when a woman attempts to exercise her rights in this house.
You must suspend.
Madam Speaker, I demand the Sergeant at Arms bring the gentlewoman to her feet.
You must suspend, gentlewoman from California.
This is a fine example of what they tried to do to us. I am pleased.
Madam Speaker, I move this house to now adjourn.
That I was able to come to Maggie Williams' defense. The women of this nation will not continue to have this kind of treatment.
Madam Speaker, put the question.
Would you please?
That's a fine example. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Will the Sergeant at Arms
have the Sergeant at Arms remove her?
Have the sergeant-at-arm remove her. She's out of order. She's gaveled down.
She didn't sit down.
The gentlewoman was out of order. The chair was about to direct the sergeant-at-arms to remove, to present the mace.
Do it now.
The gentlewoman has now left. Oh, she's there.
Yep, she was about to get the mace. She was about to have the hammer put down. That mace is hanging there on the wall there, and the sergeant of arms, that's what he uses to remove someone that's unruly. This is the ways of the world. This is the ways of war, the confusion. Now, if you remember October 13th, 2014, y'all remember what took place in the British Parliament? They overwhelmingly voted to recognize a Palestinian state, which began the last 3.5 years. Y'all remember that, right? And Pastor told me that, and he told the great Kohan Ilya that he saw this news story, that story I just flashed on October 13th, at 12:09 p.m. If y'all remember, you can go back and listen to that. It means conqueror, okay? But it's from 1153. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but Yahweh has revealed it to us now. And it means my treading. Treading. Think about grapes and treading. Think about harvest. Turn over to Revelation chapter 14 in your books of Yahweh. We're going to look at Revelation 14:14, found on page 980. It's called The Reaping of the Harvest. He says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Now who would that be? That's Yahshua. That's our high priest. And another, let me read you, by the way, this is Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events. And let me read you this pertinent section here. Okay, so I'm going to be reading from page 231 in Deceptions. And it's talking about, on page 231, it's given this scripture here, Yahshua, our Messiah, will be the harvester of the first resurrection at the end of this age. Just as Revelation 14:14 through 16 says. And he reads, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another Malach came out of the house," that's Pastor, "crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.'" That's called the first fruits of mankind. The first fruits of mankind. Now I'm going to read from page... Actually, hold on. Let me see if I was... Oh, yes. This was called the wave offering. The wave offering. Maybe I need to do some kind of subliminal. The wave offering. The wave offering. Now listen to this. The wave offering was cut, and it represents all those who have been called out by Yahweh to hear, see, and understand his warning message. However, now listen to this, like the great deacon said a few minutes ago, however, only the finest flour from the cut sheaves represents those who are chosen to enter Yahweh's kingdom. Remember, many called, few chosen, Matithiah 20:16 and 22:14. Now I'm going to read from page 235 at the bottom. It says, "The first harvest will be those of us in the first resurrection. We will all be harvested But we definitely will not all be chosen. Okay? Just keep that in your mind. Now, I would like you to turn over to Revelation 11. I'm almost done. Revelation 11. And let's look at verse 1. Now, pay very close attention here. And there was given me a reed like a measuring rod. And the Moloch stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and its confines. But the court, and you should have the word judgment written over that word court, like Pastor asked you to do. But the judgment, which is outside the house of Yahweh, okay, leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the nations, the quartet, the Gentiles. And the holy city they will tread underfoot for 3.5 years. Remember that word tread. And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about this 3.5 years that you are in right now. You've been in this last 3.5 years. Those cast about with darkness, the nuclear bombs that are coming. These are, as it were, the two olive trees, and as it were, the two lamps of the 7-lamp lampstand, ministering for the Father of the earth. Now skip down to verse 8. It's talking about Yahweh's work in this last 3.5 years. It says, in the body of believers, the house of Yahweh, the one seed of the two witnesses goes into the streets of the great city. So that means we're all going to go to Rome and we're all going to hang out on the street corners, right? No, every street is Roman in this whole earth. Babylon has filled the earth everywhere. Municipalities. That's what we're going to help to turn around. We're going to turn around the municipalities. We're going to set them up. Okay? We're going to go into the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Messiah was sacrificed. And now notice what we're going to do. And we're going to take out of the peoples, the tribes, and the tongues and nations into the house of Yahweh. This 3.5 years, this time cut short, here's what we're doing. Turning them to Yahweh for 3.5 years, because they will not allow this body of believers of the two witnesses to be placed in the tomb. And notice what they're going to do, 2 billion of them. Then those residing, remember, 4/5 are going to be wiped out by what you just saw. And not just the bombs, but the famine, the pestilence, the disease epidemics that you're going to witness yourselves. It says, those residing in throughout the earth will observe Yahweh's feasts in their reverence for Yahweh because of them. For they have a mind of understanding to do that which is right, and Yahweh's tithes and offerings they will bestow themselves together who are of Yahweh, because the two prophets proclaim, the two witnesses proclaim the every word of Yahweh to those residing throughout the earth. Remember, they're flowing here. We're teaching them throughout the earth this last 3.5 years. Turn over to Revelation chapter 7. Remember what I just read you about the first harvest. Now listen to this, my last scripture. So pay close attention. Revelation 4:7. And after these things, I saw four malachim standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so the wind would not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. This is the quartet holding the war. Now look at verse 9. No, I'm sorry. Look at, it shows the sealing of the 144,000, the first fruits. But notice verse 9, this last 3.5 years you are now in. Look what occurs. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches, taught to keep Yahweh's feasts, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Father who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the malachim stood surrounding the throne, the elders and the quartet fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped Yahweh. They're going to repent. Okay? 4/5 are going to die, but they're going to repent. 2 billion of them. Turn over to Jeremiah 25:12. I'm sorry, I had one more. I thought that was on my last one. Jeremiah 25:12. I want you to understand that this is on the whole earth. This is a hand that is stretched out on all the nations. Everyone is going to, this is going to be for all nations, this grape gathering. It says on verse 12, and it will come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. And he says, I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that's written in the book which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all nations. Now notice who he tells you it's going to come upon. Verse 15, for this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, said to me, take the wine cup of this fury from my hand and cause all the nations whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. And then he shows you in verses 19 through 26, all the remnant of the earth, all the kings in verse 26 of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are on the face of the earth. Also the king of Shishak, the code word for Babylon, who will drink last of all. Okay? And then he says, therefore you will say to them, this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says, drink, be drunk, and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it will be if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you will say to them, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, you will certainly drink. For behold, I begin to bring disaster on the city which is called with my name, so should you be utterly unpunished? Therefore, prophesy against all these words and say to them, Yahweh will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will mightily roar upon his habitation. He will give a shout to those who tread the grapes, those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise will come to the ends of the earth, for Yahweh has a controversy, a legal indictment against the nations. He will plead, enter into judgment with all flesh. The wicked will be given to the sword, says Yahweh. I want to remind you about that great sword. Pastor showed you in 1934, Leo Szilard got the patent on that sword. Y'all remember that? Well, did you all remember? Of course, probably fell out of my book. I had it in here. But Leo Szilard, if you remember, his name meant Constantine. Gave a sermon on that about the month of July, or Manhattan Prophecy, remember? Or the Manhattan Project? Szilard, here it is. Let me just, for the record, before I leave, Leo Szilard, it means solid, firm, and it's a Hungarian form of Constantine. Remember, Constantine, in 325 AD, saw the sword. He was given a sword, but this Constantine was given a great sword, and this sword is getting ready to be used. Get ready. We're going to pull 2 billion out. They're coming. Okay, I hope you can see they're coming. And you're doing a great work. Keep up the great job. Stay warm. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It is my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kahan Ilya Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. In the news today, we're going to start off. Everyone should have noticed yesterday the ice that was out and around and all over the grounds. In fact, just coming up the drive, I watched someone yesterday spend 30 minutes trying to get up that 50-foot drive out there. You know, that's how bad it was. But there's a story. Pastor made a comment to somebody yesterday morning that, you know, that he was going to ask Yahweh to clear this up. And then we're going to show you the weather forecast and show how they actually showed. This is after Pastor had done all these things, prayed to Yahweh and asked. Look at the time they show how the weather's going to clear up, just in time for you to make it to services. So what a blessing. Now, going along with also what the great Con Benjamin brought, and also what Pastor has brought for many years, also remember what Malachi Martin has brought in the keys of this blood, we're going to take a look. What we see is prophecy coming to pass before our very eyes. We're seeing a U.S.-led coalition called NATO Remember, it is being directed by the Catholic Church. A new world order, as was called back by President George W. Bush, or George Bush Sr., back in the early 90s. And there's also an interview in here of Mikhail Gorbachev speaking about these things, this new world order. And even Pope John Paul come out and said, yes, this is what we need. Now, this new world order, it looks like they're bringing peace, but they're trying to bring peace through war. Peace through war. Yes, also, Con Benjamin is showing me the New World Order is also on the front of Keys of This Blood, control for the New World Order. Keep those things in mind. But we're also going to show you the magnification, this magnificent coalition, NATO. Sometimes we hear it, but we truly don't understand how big it is as a military. Remember, a military, the Pope has one, but not of his own, that he rules with. There's a military, and there's a video in part of this news that shows how massive it is, and it's mind-blowing when you put these countries together. Now, of course, they're putting sanctions again on North Korea, which is ongoing. They're putting sanctions on Russia, which is ongoing, and of course, there's sanctions on Iran, which is ongoing. These sanctions are not allowing them economically to buy, sell, or trade. It's economic strangulation. Unless you comply with what we say, you will not do these things on a business level. We will shut you down. Vladimir Putin has said that in 2 years he feels Russia can turn it around. Russia has 3 years of money on standby. In other words, they can operate their country right now. They're hoping for 3 years under the present sanctions. They also just issued new guidelines for the military, but one stayed the same. One of Russia's guidelines is if anyone would cause Russia to cease as a country, that is a cause for nuclear war, and they will not hold back. So this economic strangulation, they're pushing people into the corner, and you're going to see them come out slinging very soon. They're not going to be holding back. Now, I want you to keep this in mind as you're watching this news. In 2006, September 9th in 2006, Pastor prayed to Yahweh in front of the congregation that the four living creatures would be released. Guess what year Russia first shut off gas to the Ukraine? 2006. Guess what year the United States pushed the UN to first put sanctions on Iran? 2006. Now keep in mind, Russia cutting gas off to Ukraine, if you want to condemn Russia, that would be equal to not paying your light bill and wanting to sanction your electrical company for cutting your power off. Don't be mindful of the things you see. Don't look evil at people until you get all of the facts. Be educated. At this time, if we could please play the news. Everyone remember, the next thing that is shown in Revelation 6:2 is death and war. Death and war. But Yahweh did say there would be a place of safety established by the one sent. And at this time, I'd like to present the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
We got one missing. One missing. Praise Yahweh. What a crowd. Beautiful, beautiful. They're all yours, Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Now that death and war, as you're certainly seeing it building every day. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Our job, of course, is we're the treaders of the grapes of wrath. You got to remember that. That's what Revelation shows you in Revelations 14:16-18, I believe it is. But we are the ones opposing Babylon. You can certainly see the confusion in everything that they're doing, and they're saying, you know, we're getting ready for peace, and one bomb now will destroy 100 times. It's 100 times more destructive than the ones we used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Don't forget to get you this calendar, by the way. 2015. The group that put that together, you know, I kept watching it, and this is the best we've ever put out right there. The treaders of the grapes of wrath. That's what we're doing. We're treading the grapes of wrath under the great Yahshua, high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. It's going out pretty much to all the world. If you look closely there, you can see, and get this down to where we can see it. There you go. That right there went to over. Now, this is 72 million people, 72,483,000 people. But now these are agencies here, and they're saying that this is about half of what it's really reaching, about half of the people that it's really reaching, because these have great audiences. The Daily Herald, Dallas Business Journal, Dallas Business Journal, Dayton Business Journal. These are reaching some heavy duty news advertising. Los Angeles Business, 69 News, Wichita Business Journal, the Wichita, Kansas Eagle, and all of them carry, you know, hundreds of thousands of viewers, and they're demanding me to write. So, keep that in mind, Tana. Every time you call me, you stop my pen. you keep the calls coming. They're important too. The World News, World Now, that's reaching over 4,671,722 people. Now, if you double that, they said you would more than likely get the right, pretty close to the right figure of viewers. NBC, another large one, 3 million, over 3 million there. Fox B, and that is going up into the millions. ABC, it pretty much covers all of them now. All the newspapers are wanting not only the newspapers, the news media is wanting this. And, of course, this is treading the grapes of wrath. We're opposing Babylon. While they are building, while the world is building their way to peace. Now, the great deacon Tobias got a bunch of work on this that you'll get here very soon. But that ship is capable. It only takes 130 people on that ship, where it takes, I think, something like 300 and something on a regular warship. This one will do. This one is more than 100 times more destructive, too, than the regular warships that they got. This is the top of the killers right here. Top of the killers, and this is the top of the saviors right here. That's our top savior right there. Part of the grapes of wrath, I don't have time to go into this, but babies deformed, and here's your world leader. I don't care what anyone tells you, the Vatican is leader of the kings of the earth. And you need to get that down. You need to start remembering these scriptures and newsletters. It's very important that you know this. And Revelation 6 shows the prophecies, and that's what we're here for, is to show the world these prophecies, because they are exactly when Yahweh placed the two trees in Genesis 2. He placed two trees there. Of course, these were religious organizations. One of them brought life, the other one brought destruction. One of them brought righteousness. You can't get these unrighteous trees to bring forth righteousness. That's what Yahshua said in Matthew 7. And if you compare his writing or his speaking to the disciples who wrote this, who wrote the history of what Yahshua said, he shows you what an unrighteous tree is. They're the works of Satan, and they cannot bring forth righteousness. It's not in their power to do so. You know whose power it is? In these last days, the house of Yahweh, remember? House of Yahweh. In Revelation 6 here, by the way, we still got much, much more on this that the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins is bringing out, and more and more is coming with every number, every month, every week of the day, and so forth. More and more is coming on this and tying in the prophecies with what he was bringing out. He mentioned the sea, and I was wondering how many caught that. Now, it wasn't his job today to bring that out. What he was to bring out is, of course, the cause of this, and Yahweh showing us in the clouds and in the numbers and so forth that these things are fixing to come to pass. But you should remember the word sea there with the information he brought. Sea. You got to relate these words to the scriptures now. See, what is a see? Well, you couldn't do this without Yahshua's writing. That's Revelations that he gave to Yochanan to copy for him. You wouldn't even know what the see he is talking about. These are people. These are people that we're putting the sickle to. We're selecting. If I had to make a selection of someone that Yahweh could use without fighting back, without disagreement, and do it with rejoicing, I'd say anyone in this room right now, anyone. You brave the heat, the cold, everything to get to the house of Yahweh. That is wonderful. We see this in chapter 6 of Revelations. We see the verse 1 there, and I saw when the Lamb opened, that's Yahshua, when he opened. You couldn't see it till Yahshua opened this for you. And this is saying there's a time when he's going to open this. And of course that time is the last generation, as he showed. And the last generation, he said, and this generation will not pass away until this man teaches this message. As Matthew 24:14. Remember? He said, in this generation, you're going to see this person teach this message to all the world. And he said, that generation won't pass away till this is fulfilled. Till this man. Well, of course, they left out the man's name, but the true scriptures didn't. And as the great David Yehuda brought out, the way that scripture is mentioned, it's mentioned Abel in it, and my name too. My name is mentioned a lot in the scriptures, and of course, Satan did a great job in taking this out. Well, right here you can see the grapes of wrath. The grapes of wrath, that's the nations and the fruit that they're putting out. They can't bring forth righteous fruit. If they did, they'd be following the ways of peace. But they're bringing forth the wrath. Remember that? Why are you so angry, Cain? Remember? And that's exactly the part, the way that the world, as Yada said, they've all gone the way of Cain. Why are you so angry, Khrushchev? Gorbachev? Why are you so angry? President Bush? Why are you so angry? You know, all the nations are angry. As Revelation 10 says, when we finish this message of the seventh Moloch, that Yahshua said is going to take place, this to all the world. Well, at one time I kept wondering, in fact, years, years in the making. It was that guy that you saw talking there, you know, when they, in 62, when he actually gave that message, he was a young man from Russia. I don't know if y'all caught that or not, but that's 1962. Myself and my brother Jacob, in 1962, actually brought a sermon on that man and Russia and the United States about to go to war. And we said on the air, no, this is not going to take place now. That we will have war, nuclear wars, but it's not going to take place now. That's 1962, Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins. Look that number up. 1962 in the town of Eastland, Texas. And we brought a sermon on that about to take place. It looked like they were going to. Russia was coming this way with everything they had, getting set up, said it's going to wipe the United States off of the face of the earth. And I believe it was Kennedy that was president at that time. And we said, no, it's not going to take place. And there was several people that was listening to our voice at that time that actually came to services on 10P Lane. Once we got the sanctuary built, they heard about the sanctuary being built, the house of Yahweh, and they actually came to services. That was in 82 that we built the sanctuary in 10P Lane. And so that was 20 years later that they remembered that sermon. It was a question and answer sermon. Jacob would ask the questions and I would answer the questions. And that was the show that he and I put on at that time. That was the start of it in 1962. Reaching out to a tiny, by a tiny radio, and I said, I thought for years, how am I going to reach the world? And we're trying with everything we had, you know. I mean, we've tried. I've done everything I possibly could. And I said, I'm not getting anywhere, Yahweh. I'm spinning my wheels. You know, I can't do this. You're going to have to open a gate, a door, and let us reach the world. And look what's taking place right now. What I showed you right there. That is global. That's global. We're going around the world with this thing. We're treading the grapes of wrath. Well, who is wrathful? The same one it's always been. From Cain. They all went the way of Cain. 12:9 of Revelation says the whole world is deceived. So Yahweh, in the last days, remember the house of Yahweh was wiped out, but he says, in the last days, I'm going to establish my house and they're going to reach the world. Could you predict the future like that? Don't tell me you don't believe. You know, you got it right here in front of you. Tell me you don't believe and I'll tell you you're a fool. You can't even think. Well, here now the Lamb opens one of the seals, which I heard as it were one of the four living creatures or living actions. This grapes of wrath. It's a vengeance of it is shown in four horns on an altar where they sacrifice day and night Well, what are they doing? This is a prophecy also. Those four horns carry a lot of prophecy. I can't think about it without crying, so I'm not going to get into it anymore until I overcome that. But if you think about the death, the animals, which kept reminding everyone, you're sinning. And the sin is what's bringing the evil. You're disagreeing. You're not standing in unity with the house. You're not standing in unity with me. It's telling you all those things. Those four horns on the altar of death show you that. And the prophecies, the book of Yahweh is filled with those prophecies. Well, of course, unity. As Yahshua said, you're going to see one day that it's unity, and you'll be sorry that you didn't act if you're not standing in agreement with me in these last days. Because we're prophesied. This is a prophecy that's being fulfilled. Well, the Lamb opened this, and talking about the four horns of the four living kingdoms, the four creatures, four beasts, that Daniel said these are kingdoms, world-ruling kingdoms. And led by, of course, a religion that Daniel 7 says comes against the laws of Yahweh. They can't bring forth righteousness. It's not in them to bring forth righteousness. And they fight against Yahweh's laws, His statutes and judgments. They fight against Yahweh Himself and Yahshua, even removing His name from the scriptures that He inspired. And Yahweh said, nothing is going to be withheld from you. Now, we're going to see what your end will be. Remember, that's in Genesis 10. A lot of this prophecy, the beginning and the end is shown in the beginning. in the first book of your book of Yahweh. Well, this voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it had a bow. Well, now that bow turns out to be a $6 billion fighting ship. $6 billion? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what's on that ship? And that thing can shoot a nuclear bomb that is 100 times more destructive than the Hiroshima, Nagasaki, fat man and big boy. It can shoot it straight up from this ship, straight up, make a quick turn like this, and go 300 miles, 1,000 miles, and hit a target. The way they described it in King David's time was, they could hit a hair dead center. Well, that's the way it is on this last machine that they got going that will destroy 4/5 of the Earth's population. You know, it wouldn't take many of those bombs. In fact, one warship could wipe out the United States in a few seconds. If it gets in place, and it wouldn't have to be very close. It could be in their friendly waters that they govern, and it could hit the United States. Remember, they got missiles now that are fast. They got planes that's 8 times the speed of sound. 8 times faster than the speed of sound. Whew! And they've spent all this time and effort. These are the grapes of wrath that you see that we're treading. And of course, from us is coming a huge number of people, about 2 billion people, and they're going to never learn war again, those that are left alive. Praise God. Even right now, the Vatican is slowly but surely taking one step at a time to bring this to action. And it started years ago with the man you saw speaking. That man was declaring war in 1962. Well, this one with the white the white hat on his head that looks great, riding a white horse. You remember they had movies of this. You know, this ship right here was built after viewing video games put together by children. The children actually donated and said, we need this here, and this here, that was playing. They became experts on a video game. And that's what they used, is these children's playing these video games and putting what we need into these video games. This is what we would do if we wanted to wipe out this, hit this, and so forth. Like Dick Tracy. Anyone? I don't know if he still has a funny paper or not, but I remember Dick Tracy, and he had a telephone on his a telephone watch that he could, in a TV. Now that was before either one. But now we got it. And we got these huge, magnificent bombs ready to kill. Now, verse 3, well, you can plainly see this is not Yahshua. They claim this is Yahshua going forth with his, what do they call them, Christian soldiers. But this is not Yahshua. It's not the Savior Yahshua who teaches peace and is showing us the way to peace, and we're showing the grapes of wrath the way to peace. And many of these grapes or vines is going to be harvested here very soon, because they are in agreement and they're letting it be known they're in agreement. And of course the Pope is scratching his head to find out what he can do, trying to figure out something he can do to stop this opposing Babylon. And they're trying to pass laws, of course. Everything they do is passed by force. And you just got through seeing that nothing is brought about by force. You know, and this is what Putin is saying. He said, you got to have laws that somebody can follow. You know, you can't force a person, force the nations to do something, follow laws that they don't know what they are. And you can just twist them around and add more when you want to. Give us a set of laws that we can follow and we'll talk to you about it. Well, in verse 3, he said, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second creature say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was granted unto him. Power was granted to him who sat upon it, to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. Well, and now this same thing, if you hold your place there and look on over to Revelations 10, remember what you saw there now. Take peace from the earth. See that? And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. There was given unto him, what? What do they call that thing? Let me get it here. The $7 billion warship being built to maintain American naval supremacy over China in the 21st century. Well, we're there. There was given to him a great warship, and he's got it. That it was given unto him to take peace from the earth, and there's given to him a great warship. Did you get that? You could circle that and write beside it a $6 billion warship. The only thing, China has one too. And China says theirs topped the one of the United States. And then when you see the next verse, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard, and the third creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of scales. I heard the voice, very cheap. But notice down at the last part of that, hurt not the oil. And you see the oil is the number one thing between these four leading powers, the four ruling creatures of the world now, that's serving under one religion called universal. Well, the next one you see is on down in verse 7, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, the pale horse, and the name of him that sat upon it is that was death, and Sheol the grave followed with him, and power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with this great warship, with the great planes, eight times faster than the speed of sound, and with hunger, that's starvation, pestilence, that's disease epidemics, as the Savior mentioned in 24, Matthew 24, where he said, Israel Hawkins is going to be taking this message out to the world. Matthew 24, 14. And he said, this generation is not going to pass until this is done. All these things, he said. You see that? How much time have you got to rebel? How much longer will you rebel? Will you not be in unity? Pestilence, the same under the authority of this of the beast of the earth. What beast of the earth? Daniel 7. Four beasts mentioned there. And they all work together under this one religion with the huge Roman army that was able, even at that time, to pollute the temple. That was powerful even at that time. You see the authority they had? And Yada was the one given the laws. Yada was the one holding the scepter at that time. The scepter mentioned in Genesis 10. There's so many things that we got to cover in the next few weeks. It's enormous, but we'll do it. If you'll just remember and associate these scriptures. Try to talk about these things when you're out there today, or when you this week when you're talking to people. Try to rehearse these things, and you might even jot down some of these things. And then this week, when you get the chance to talk to anyone in the house, and you got a little luxury time and you're talking to one another, bring up these things. So it'll build your memory. You will marvel at the things you forgot, but it will help you to start thinking more as you hear these sermons. The two trees are given in Genesis. Genesis, the second chapter. The two trees. Yahshua says it's impossible for this tree of evil that follows the gods of evil, the evil gods, that's Genesis what? Genesis, you know what? You know what it is? Genesis 5. No. You see how easy it is? It shows you the evil of the gods. What? That's it. There you got it. Evil of the gods. It's impossible, Yahshua said, for them to bring forth righteousness. They can't do it. Well, why are you here? How come you're here wanting to bring forth righteousness? You see? Isn't that beautiful? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they bringing forth righteousness? Why aren't they stopping this war? You see? It's given to you. It's not given to them. Yahweh chose you above all the people on the face of the earth to bring forth. You're the least ever. Least kingdom. But you are a kingdom. You're the starting of this last kingdom that's going to grow and be the biggest ever. The biggest kingdom ever, Yahshua said. If you won't rebel, if you'll stop stealing, if you'll pay your tithe, if you learn to rejoice. You know that's something the world has never learned. You saw the closest thing they could come to it just a few days ago, a few nights ago, when this big old goofy ball in New York, Times Square. Here I am, and here they are, Times Square, and here's my picture saying, no, this is the way to peace right here. We're prophesied to run abreast with this mighty kingdom of the earth, the four horns of the golden altar. We're prophesied to be opposing them in this time period, and we are. And Yahweh picked that, Times Square, right there at the same time. Yes, that was up when this big old goofy ball was going up in the air and people sending out there freezing their off. Well, that's the mentality they got. This is a confusion of the world. It's worthless, as Jeremiah said. It's idiotic. Don't even learn this way of the heathen. It's nothing but foolishness. But that's what they follow after, is foolishness. Now, it went up there to get some presents from Santa Claus, but it picked the wrong day. You know, he was there on the 25th, and here they are on the 1st of the next year. Somebody tell them that before next December, please. Santa Claus is on the 25th. 3 days and three nights later. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.